Hey, what's up? It's Frick. I don't know where to start. A couple of things happened last night. You know, my girlfriend and I were sitting on the couch and we were trying to figure out what movie to go and see. And I kind of wanted to see a Hollywood movie, like a bombastic, high drama, big orchestra, explosions, special effects kind of movie. And she was, I don't know. I think she was looking for something a little more arty, which is fine. We usually wind up both loving whatever we see. And our favorite theater is within walking distance. It's called The Brattle. So we went over there. It's a kind of a cool place because you go in there and you wind up, I mean, friends, we saw two different friends just showed up. We didn't even know they were going to the same movie. And the movie we saw was a music documentary about a band called the Magnetic Fields. And one of the members of the band was there. And actually some footage in the movie was shot, within a stone's throw of the theater, literally. I mean, within 1 minute walking away from that theater, you'd hit scenes from this movie. So it was kind of fun to be there, seeing it and have something, real there too. After the movie, this one member of the Magnetic Fields, I think her name was Claudia, got up on stage and answered questions, and it was nice. It was nice to kind of get a connection to that group and that music and somebody. It was really well timed because I'm just sort of going through a realization right now about my own music that is something new. Not new, it's new and old. Damn it, I need some water again. I always do this. I start talking to you and then I realize I'm gonna have to get some water. All right, hang on, I'm gonna go get some. And oh, so I'm back. I got coffee and water. I'm doing this thing now that, like, when I'm talking to you, I have this scheme that, like, I'm going to be able to talk about my girlfriend with you. And so she doesn't even know, because she sleeps late whenever she can. So on those mornings, like weekend mornings, I just sneak down here into the basement and do this. So and I have this sense, like, I'm very self-conscious about it, that, like, I mean, if she knows I'm podcasting again, then she'll get curious. And, maybe, like, at some point listen or whatever. And I just feel like, I mean, I talk to her outside of this. I don't know. I mean, I can't even stand to listen to myself. I want to talk behind her back, it's not, though. It's not that I want to talk behind her back. I want to speak freely, Okay, so whatever. I admit it. Whatever you're saying about that, I admit it. Can't remember the topic. Oh, Magnetic Fields, Brattle Theater. I don't even know the title of this movie. I'm going to have to look it up on the interwebs or whatever, because I do want you to go see it. I'm looking it up right now. Hang on. The movie was, it's a music documentary that was shot over years with this band, the Magnetic Fields, which started in the 80s and continues. Let's try Google. Magnetic Fields documentary. I could go to the Brattle website, brattlefilm.org, and find this. Let's do that. Oh, it's called Strange Powers. That's the name of the movie. Stephen Merritt and the Magnetic Fields. Strange Powers, Stephen Merritt and the Magnetic Fields. Well, I mean, this is a long rambling introduction to what I want to tell you, which is that I never gave that band a chance. And it was because at the time that they broke out and hit, the time they hit was in the 80s. And my very musically hip girlfriend at the time loved them. It was like her favorite band. And I took that to be a bad sign. Not just that she liked this band and that everything she liked I hated, but it was her favorite band. So I thought, like, there's no way I could like this. There's no way it could be any good. I think, basically, I thought, like, oh, this is going to be hard to listen to. This is going to be work. And I just wasn't into music like that, really. I mean, I was really a snob in a way, too, about it. That there was a right and a wrong way to play music and all this. I mean, it's interesting how, what kind of a transformation I've gone through since the 80s, musically, about how, I mean, I don't think there is a right and a wrong way to do music. And that even if there was a right and wrong way to do music, that it would be better to do it the wrong way. Even if that were true, I don't think it's true, but it would be, but if it were, you know. And in this movie, you know, they mostly follow this guy, Stephen Merritt, the guy who is the central figure of the magnetic fields. He's the guy who writes all the music, and he was the driving founder who formed this quirky little weird four-piece band that, like, had an identity crisis for, you know, much of its popular phase and continues to, really. And I think that's the thing that was particularly meaningful to me, is that, like, they used their identity crisis. That was their identity. And that they didn't take very seriously the success of the band. They didn't take very seriously the need there is to pigeonhole what you do and become specific and marketable and all that. You know, I guess just for me personally, the pendulum swinging the other way, because there's a price in getting good at all that stuff, you know, that you're left with this identity and not a genuine musical experience, which is an adventure or an exploration or fun. And I'm trying to take that away from this movie. I might even go see it again, you know, the first chance. I think I just really want to embrace it. I want to take it in and kind of get back to, like, a more innocent experience of producing music. And, you know, what's funny, it's, this is really well-timed, because on the same day that I found this movie, also at the same exact same day, I was nominated for, like, a really big music award in Boston, which I will not likely win in the category that I've been nominated in. But, you know, I guess the thing that I hate to admit is that I'm really affected by the approval of others. And on one hand, I really think that you can't operate on that. You can't depend on it, and it doesn't matter. But in reality, it does seem to really affect what I'm doing a lot, whether or not I'm getting that. And, I don't know if that's something I'll ever get away from, and I don't know if it would help if I did, but I think that I just want to admit it now. And I don't think I ever even wanted to admit it before. I think I just sort of, like, it was like a closet addiction, you know. I mean, it sounds funny, you know, because I have done my own thing always musically, and I have given the impression to people that I do what I do my own way for my own reasons for myself. But secretly, when they approve and when they encourage me, it means a great deal to me, and it's a huge motivator. I don't know if that's entirely a good thing, but I'm ready to accept it right now. Maybe as a way of not needing it. There's all these images in that movie of Stephen Merritt just, you know, tinkering around in his apartment in Manhattan, you know, reading from his favorite books and writing in his notebooks and setting up microphones and recording, you know, the sounds of his kitchen and whatever. And making his music and going through, you know, his ideas and, you know, collaborating with people and sharing those ideas. And somehow gets out there in the world, and somehow it's like the people for whom it's meaningful, they find him and they find it. It just sounds like a nice place to be. I feel comfortable in that. It feels like home. And now, you know, I have all these ideas. I have all this music I've recorded. I've been just like leaving on hard drives. I got to start to go through it all. It's inspired me. I'm going to release a ton of music this year.
Thank you.